Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Mark tonight, the book of Mark chapter 5. This message honestly was inspired by our pastor this last Friday. And as I was at the funeral home at his cousin's going away, I call it a going away party because she went home with the Lord. And I began to think of some things that I've heard our pastor say many years ago, and I will get to that to the end, but you're going to have to bear with me until then. Let's have a word of prayer, and then once I'm done praying, we're going to read the first 19 verses of this chapter. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this night that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that even despite his age and despite the physical ailments that his body has encountered these last few years, you still have a desire to use Pastor. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to use him in this new area that you've allowed him to be in. I pray that he be a blessing to those that are around him. God, I pray tonight that you would just bless in our services. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. The book of Mark, chapter 5, verse number 19. And it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Realize what we're dealing with tonight is a lunatic. "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." Think about what just was said here. 2,000 unclean spirits in this man. Amazing. Verse number 14, it says, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil. And he had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to him, 'Depart out of their coast.' And he was coming to the ship, he that hath been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, 'Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee.'" The title of our message tonight is "Go Home to Your Friends." When civilization throws you away, what will become of you? Think about that statement. What will become of you? The maniac of Gadara was thrown away by society. Why was he thrown away by society? Because of the very fact he was possessed with demons. Not only that, but he also took his home amongst the dead. He would live inside the cemeteries. He would be there cutting himself. He at some time, think about this, he at some time in his life was a normal man, just like you, just like me. He had a job that he worked. Probably at that time, he probably could have been a carpenter, or maybe perhaps he was a masonry worker. He was probably had one of those trades, or he probably could have been a fisherman as well during those times. But at one time, he was a normal man. With this, he had family. On the other side of that, he had friends. And then one day, someday along in his life, unclean spirits would overtake his life and would overtake his body. And it would cause harm and damage to him. And as you read this story, this is a man who more than likely would be a person that you and I would probably reject as well. If we were to see someone of this stature, we would probably walk away. Though rejected by man, here is the turn of the story. Jesus comes along. Not only does he come along, but he sees a person who is in great need. He sees a person that needs him. Here is what I see that no one else at this point in time had the courage to do. And that was to treat this man like a human being. This man needed to be showed compassion. This man needed to be showed love. This man needed to be shown that people actually cared about him. Remember, he was rejected. He was thrown away. But so often, we judge and we reject people by their outward appearance, do we not? If we see somebody that doesn't look quite right, you and I would normally turn our head and go the opposite way. Not only do we do those things, but we go out of our way, even so much so we don't make any eye contact with them. We do these things. We are people who judge outwardly, and we ridicule people by their outward appearance, when in fact what we should be doing is being concerned about their inward appearance. Anybody can be fooled by their outward appearance, but is it the inward what really matters? Jesus didn't look at his outward appearance and begin to judge the man. Jesus began to look inwardly at him and realized what was going on in his life and knew that he needed him as a Savior at this point in time. And so because we reject and we judge by the outward appearance, here's what takes place in our lives. We miss out on an opportunity of being helpful and giving somebody a hand who so desperately needs it. We miss out on those opportunities. Do you realize God places those people in our paths for us to be a light to them? He places us in those paths for us to be a blessing to them as well. He does those things. So what are some reasons we miss out on these opportunities to be a help? After all, are we not to be a help to the world that is around us? Now I understand that we can't help everybody, but God places people in our lives for us to be a help to them. And so there are some things that I begin to realize, even in my own personal life. Why do we miss out on these opportunities? And the first thing that I come up with in my own life is, number one, is a lack of love. Do you realize tonight you and I should have a love for everybody? We really should. We should have a love for them, looking beyond their faults, looking beyond all their irregularities in their life, but to really have a love for them. See, Jesus demonstrated something here. He demonstrated great love. A man who was rejected by his own family, friends, people he worked with and hung out with on a daily basis, they rejected him. And then here comes Jesus along the scene, and he begins to show this man great love. He had compassion on him. That's the second thing that we lack in our lives. We lack compassion for the unfortunate, when in fact, those are the very people that Jesus came to minister to on this earth. He would not miss out on those opportunities. He would take those opportunities and he'd begin to capitalize upon those very things. He was drawn to those things. And if Jesus was drawn to those sayings and we are to be Christ-like, you and I should be drawn to those as well. So first of all, we lack love. Second of all, we lack compassion. Thirdly, and this is the one that gets me most often in my life, and this is maybe it's because we are too occupied with ourselves. Really, what matters, what we're saying is, my life's important, your life is meaningless. And so we become too occupied within ourselves, and we don't give people the time of the day. Boy, we miss out on those opportunities to talk to the less fortunate people that God has surrounded us with. Here is a lesson for us to learn. Jesus came to serve, and Jesus came to be a help. You and I should be one who serves one another. You and I should have a desire to be a help to somebody that is in need. We should have those desires in our life. And then we should show love. We should show love to the people that are around us. But life isn't about what we can do for ourselves, but that's what we think. Unfortunately, we set up our kingdom here on earth. And it's not about our kingdom here on earth, because our kingdom's going to come to an end. It's about eternal, the eternal things. But we become too occupied with ourselves. It's not about what we can do for ourselves, but here's what it's about. It's about what we can do for others. Do you realize those people, the ones that we scoff at, the ones that we try to ignore, the ones that don't look right on the outside, those people need Jesus just as much as you did? Those people need Jesus just as much as the wealthy people of this world. They need him just as much as anybody does. And so we need to give our time to them. Let them know that not only do we love them, not only do we have compassion for them, but most importantly, we can show them and tell them that Jesus loves them as well. That is so important. This list can go on. For instance, we pride ourselves in how busy we are. We are doing this, that, and the other thing, and so much more. And we begin to have an attitude, and we begin to say, I don't have time to do anything else in my life. Has anybody ever been there besides me? I've been there. Think about this. You cannot be too busy for somebody who needs to know the love of Jesus. There shouldn't be anything more important that time in life that God has given you, that divine appointment with somebody. You need to show them the love. I don't have time for anything else in my life. Oh, what a sad excuse to have. Those people that were put in front of you to be a witness to, you're going to be accountable to them one of these days. You're going to be going into a home in heaven, and because of your unwillingness, they're going to be going to a place of hell for eternity. And they're going to say, why didn't you tell me? And you're going to have to answer them honestly. And you're going to have to say, because I was too busy. I'm sorry. See, we have the wrong attitude on things in life. Jesus here, in his last 3 years of his earthly life, was busy as well. If anybody had an excuse about being busy, it was Jesus. But he was busy in a different fashion. He was doing the will of his Father. It seems at times Jesus would rarely get any rest. And he would eat food, and he would rarely get rest, and he wouldn't have food at times as well. If Jesus wasn't preaching the message of his Father, he would be teaching. If he wasn't teaching, he would be getting his disciples out of a bind. When I think of the word bind, I would think of Peter on a couple of different occasions. As Peter walked on the water and he took his eyes off of him and he began to sink, who was there? It was Jesus. When Jesus was being sold with those 30 pieces of silver, there's Peter chopping off the ear of the Roman soldier. And what's Jesus doing? He's picking that ear back up and applying it back to that soldier, getting his disciples out of a bind. At times he would not feed himself, but he was more concerned with feeding others. We can hear stories how he fed 3,000 and 5,000 people. Not once did I see in Scripture that he took his own meal and ate it himself. Healing the lame, he would restore the sight to the blind. He would raise the dead. And then he would be casting out demons from those that were possessed. You want to talk about being busy? He was busy. He was a very busy man. You see, it's all about where your priorities are at. It's all about where my priorities are at. We don't have time for others because we have our priorities in the wrong areas of our lives. Every single one of us in here can say, yes, I have wrong priorities in the areas of my life, and I should reprioritize things so that I can be a better servant for Jesus Christ. Jesus took the time for this crazy man. And what did he do? He relieved him of his pain. He relieved him of his sorrows that he carried for a long time. I don't know exactly how many days, I don't know how many months, I don't know how many years this man was possessed. But this man was possessed with demons to the point where he would cut himself. He would live amongst the dead. What a sad place for this man to be in. But this man had hope. What actually took place at this particular occasion with Jesus and this man, Jesus took the burdens of this man that he could no longer carry. Aren't you glad we serve a God tonight who gave us his son who will carry our burdens for us? That's why we're to give them to him, because we can't carry them. It says we're to take his yoke because his yoke's easy. And he showed the demons during this time that he was Jesus. It is confusing to me at times what Jesus can do. Not only do I get confused, but I'm baffled on many different occasions. Especially when you read in scriptures, in Psalms chapter 8, he was made lower than the angels. That confuses me on some occasions. I often wonder how many times we have missed out on being a help to those that God has surrounded us with. And at the same time, who was the one that capitalized on our missed opportunities? Think about that. I believe Jesus purposely places people in our lives to do just that. But our attitude and our outlook on life steers us away from those great times of being help to others. I said earlier in our prayer meeting time that we're going to be surrounded a lot this week with family and friends. And we're going to be around people who probably aren't saved. And if you don't reach those people that God has placed in your life, who is going to reach them? You are. You need to. You need to be the voice. You need to step up and to be a witness to them. Don't let somebody else capitalize on that opportunity. You capitalize upon that. That's what we need to do. So we see that Jesus, he'll cast out the demons. By the way, it just wasn't one, it was many, which is why the name Legion was given. Yes, demons can attack believers, but they do not have the power over you. Remember, they fear the name of Jesus. All you have to do is call upon his name. I remember a story years ago when my wife and I, we were dating. But in her grandmother's words, we weren't dating, we were courting. It's a term that doesn't get used much. By the way, when I met her grandma, we used to sit on the couch a lot on her porch. But she didn't call it a couch. She called it a Davenport. Is anybody familiar with that term? And all the elderly raised their hands. And the young people are saying, what is a Davenport? Do you park your car underneath that? But I can remember having those conversations with her. And she began to rehearse one time where she was being attacked. She can see things flying around her. She can see her, and how she described it to me was very real. She says she can see them flying around. All of a sudden, they would just begin to fly down and begin to attack. She got scared. She got horrified. But you know what she did? She told me something that just really astounded me, and it's really simple. She says, I cried out to Jesus, and I began to say his name over and over and over again. And she said, as soon as I began to holler out his name, those demons left. You have power over them because of Jesus. Amen to that. They fear his name. They tremble at his name. But here we're going to look at these next few moments, if you would, please. I believe the most important verse in this chapter, and that is in verse number 19. It says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee." Jesus gives this man some simple instructions. I believe with what this verse has taken place thus far, again, this is the key verse of this chapter. And what does he do? He tells him to go home. Go home. I bring this up tonight because so often the home is ignored, especially in the house of a believer. You know, the hardest people, I believe, are the hardest ones to get to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior are children who grow up in a believing household. And we forget our own home. You and I tonight need to go home. You and I tonight, with going home, we have relatives who have never heard of the gospel because you have yet to open up your mouth to them. And I'm not calling you out for this. We're all guilty of this. We all have relatives that we know and love, and we don't talk about Jesus because we're afraid of offending them, maybe because of another religion that they're involved in. We shouldn't be worried about that. Go home to your friends. That's what we need to do tonight. Take responsibility what God has given you, and that is being a witness to the friends that you have in your home. Amen to that. Go home to your friends. Why was this said? I can think of a few reasons why he would urge him to do this. Because God has surrounded you with people that need him as their Lord and Savior. And people need to hear who God is. You know, one of the biggest fears that I had in my life happened 17 years ago when God gave me a child. You know, and that wasn't my fear. My fear was that she would grow up and not accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That was my fear. I did not want my daughter to die and go to an everlasting hell. I didn't want her to suffer in those flames of torment. I didn't want that on her life. And I don't think any parent in here wants that for their child. And I can remember on many countless occasions, Chris and I were very adamant about talking to Jalen about Jesus and how she needed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We didn't hold back. We talked about it. We even told her how real and how scary hell can be. And at times it would sink in, and I can see the look upon her face. And I can remember on one occasion where it finally hit her, and she finally realized what she needed to do. I'll never forget the setting that we were in at that point in time. And I can remember we're talking about fire. And I begin to bring up again what hell was like. And just out of nowhere, Jalen gets up. She says, "Mom, Dad, I'll be right back." I'm like, "Okay, what's going on? I'm in the midst of talking about hell. What's more important? You got to go to the bathroom or what?" And she gets up and she walks away. Little did I know what God was doing in her life. About 5 minutes have passed. She comes back out, and I can just see relief off of her face. And I don't know if you remember this very well, Jalen, but she says, "Mom, Dad, I just got saved." I think, hallelujah to that. Go home to thy friends. Go home to thy family, because they need to know who Jesus is. Why do I know this to be true? Because he then says to tell them of how great things the Lord has done. Do you realize the Lord did something great in your life when he saved your soul from hell to heaven? You know, that is a miracle in and of itself. He saved your soul from hell to heaven. That is a miracle. And I thank God for that. Here's what needs to take place in our life. You and I have got to stop being so scared to tell others of who Jesus is. We should not worry about if we're going to insult them. We shouldn't be concerned about those things. Also, we have to stop putting that responsibility on somebody else. The people that God has put in your life should be hearing about him from you. From you. I can't, nor can Pastor, reach the people in life the way you can. You know them. You can reach them. Don't be scared. One of the reasons why we don't capitalize upon these opportunities is because we lack boldness. If we lack boldness, then let me encourage you to ask for boldness. If it's because you lack wisdom, let me encourage you, ask for wisdom. We are not to be silent, but we are to go home to our friends and to tell them of the great things that God has done for you. Maybe you're unable to do so because you yourself, think about this, might not be saved. I'm going to say some things, and I want you to listen to this. Just because you go to church, just because you might read your Bible at times, just because you occasionally might pray, and just because you might have parents who are saved as well, does not mean that you're saved unless you call upon God as your Lord and Savior in your life. Those are works. If this is you tonight, I say this, please, and I beg you, receive Jesus Christ tonight. It's the best gift that you can ever have in your life. This past week, Pastor's cousin passed away. It was his closest cousin, as I've come to learn in my life. As a matter of fact, she was probably the only family member on her side who we really had a relationship with, Pastor being younger than the rest of his siblings. Our cousins that we have are much older than we are, and so we didn't have that connection, but we knew who Diane was. We see her quite often on occasions. I can remember on many different occasions as a young person, she worked at Kmart, and we'd go out there and we'd see her on occasions. I can remember those things. One thing I appreciate about her, I've never seen her without a smile ever in my life. But she passed away. But there was one thing that really stuck out to me during this funeral service. I can remember on many occasions my dad's testimony on how God brought him back to his hometown. So you got to remember, Pastor hasn't always been here. Born and raised here. Went off to college for a couple years in Pontiac, Michigan. Was out there for a couple years, had a couple kids. Moved out to Washington, Seattle, Washington. Had a couple other kids. Was the assistant pastor out of Open Door Baptist Church out there. But one day, God began to speak to his life. Began to speak to his heart. And he opened up the word of God to Mark chapter 5, verse number 19. It says, "Go home to thy friends." That's the verse that got Pastor to come back to Council Bluffs, Iowa. Started the church out of his home in Omaha, Nebraska. Soon to move over here in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Had a little storefront building on 33rd and Avenue A. And then from 33rd and Avenue A, we came here over in a school part over there. That's where we started the church out in there. And slowly grew into this part that we call our sanctuary today. Go home to thy friends. This stuck out to me. It was this verse that says this. And my mind began to take me on a quick venture. If our pastor did not respond to God's call to come home that day, you would more than likely not even know who I am. Some might say amen. Thank you for not saying amen. More importantly than that, his cousin, 4 days before her passing, probably would not have a chance to have led her to the Lord. See how important it is to go home to thy friends? Me being here for 45 years, soon to be 46, Pastor's been here a little bit longer than that. This is the first that I am aware of that he was able to lead a family member to the Lord from his side of the family. You see the importance of going home to thy friends? It might have taken 46, 47 years, but I can tell you tonight, he's got excitement in his heart knowing that his cousin is in the presence of the Lord. Why? From one simple verse, for being obedient to the call of God, go home to thy friends. Here is what took place that Friday morning. Again, like many times before, the Bible says here, go home to thy friends. But it doesn't stop. It says, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So what took place last Friday morning, again, like many times before, he told her one last time what great things the Lord has done for him. And because of that, she responded, yes, I want what you have. And a few days later, she went to the presence of the Lord. So what does this mean for us? Go home to your family. Go home to your friends. Stop waiting and tell them of the great things that the Lord has done for you. Why in the world would any of us put this off? His return is quickly. It's coming. It's right around the corner. Why in the world would you wait for tomorrow? You heard the testimony of what Pastor said this morning about somebody he witnessed to, and he says, I will do that later. Later didn't come for him because he passed away. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We often think that we're going to wake up and have a new day. That new day is not always going to be there. You can't take your worldly possessions with you. Well, man, I just got a brand new car. I got a brand new motorcycle. I got a brand new home. Congratulations. Good for you. Let me remind you, it's not going with you. It's going to burn. But what you can take with you are other souls. And that's the important thing. Not to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean at all in this statement at all. But your silence, your lack of boldness, if you don't witness to them, their blood will be upon your hands if you choose not to be a voice for God. Go home to thy friends. I've heard our pastor on many different occasions. I've watched him weep from this pulpit, being concerned about his family members who have yet to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've seen this compassion that he has for them. Folks, all we have to do is go home. Stop ignoring him. Go home. Be a witness and be an encouragement. And one day, someday, even though it took 40-some years later, Pastor, I know you can say it was worth it. Be persistent. Keep going. Keep treading away. God will reward you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the illustration of this maniac from Gardea, Lord, and how you worked in his life. God, you've placed people in our lives for us to be a blessing to be a help to. Help us not to be ignorant and to ignore those things. And also, God, you've told us to go home to thy friends. We need to be a witness, and not only to our co-workers that we're surrounded with every single day, somebody at the grocery store, at the gas station, but God, we cannot ignore our home. We have to take care of business there. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that the doors of opportunities would be open this week for every single person in this room so that we can tell them of the great things you had done for us. God, I thank you for saving this hell-deserving soul. And Lord, I thank you for giving me a home in eternity. I'm thankful for your love tonight. I'm thankful for your compassion. We love you tonight because you first loved us. And in your name, amen.